So we're beginning a new series today, and we're going to be looking at some of the parables of Jesus. And I want to invite you to be join us in this journey. We are all on a journey as individuals, but we are on a journey as a church as well. And for a while now, and then COVID sort of messed some of this up, but, you know, discerning what is God's next steps for us as a church. And we want to discern that vision. And as elders, we have met a couple of times and just taking like a half day or even a full day just to talk through some of these things, to pray through some of these things. So it's not that nothing is going on. You know, when you're talking about vision, you know, you're almost talking about the DNA of a church, and DNA and culture, it takes some time to form and for all of us to have ownership of. We're going to have another meeting this week to and invite a couple other people just to listen to what we have done, what we've come up with so far. And we're not reinventing the wheel by any stretch, but we, you know, these are things that we want to have, be able to own and understand and be able to articulate to one another, that we will all know it. So we're in a next step right now, and we will continue that process. Our hope, and I'm not promising, is that in the new year, in January, we would be able to present a fuller vision of this and do a sermon series on it. But, you know, these things take time, and we trust and hope that we'll be at that point. But it's like, you know, when are we going to start gathering again? Until certain things get put in place, it wouldn't be appropriate for us to do that. So we'll get there. So we are on this journey together. So why parables? Well, you know what? I mean, parables are powerful. And I think one of the reasons they're so powerful, because they tell a story. There's a power in a story. You can have a conversation with somebody, and you can have your apologetics and make your arguments and talk about faith and science and everything like that. But the reality is, there's nothing more powerful than your own story and what God has done in your life and what he is doing in your life. Even you think about Josh and Talia and it's in this step, and you know how this is part of their story now and where this is going to go. And the thing about a story is it creates images in our minds. I like Hebrew, and I didn't study Hebrew, but when I do word studies, when I prepare a sermon, and even in Greek too, you know, behind these words are pictures. And, you know, I think it helps us to understand the truth of the scripture. And so Jesus used parables. Without the context or explanation, sometimes parables are more like a riddle. When rabbis would use parables, and they often did, it would be in the context of a sermon, so that parable would inform what is being taught. When Jesus used parables, he didn't always explain it to the people to whom he was speaking. Later on, and the one that we're going to look at today, he would explain to his disciples. And he had a reason for doing that, and we're going to come to that in a little bit. But it wasn't fully revealed to the people of Israel, and that was really part of God's plan. For Israel to reject Jesus and to graft in the Gentiles. So there was a plan behind it. We go, well, why wouldn't he just teach parables so they could understand his truth? Well, God had a bigger plan. He didn't want to just save Israel. He loved the world. He wants to save the world. The word parable literally means to place side by side. It's comparison. So many parables would be, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he would create some word picture. You know, this year we planted a garden again, and our garden is unbelievable. It has never been so good, I don't think. But one of the things we did was we added a bunch of mushroom manure before we planted the garden, because you know what? The soil makes all the difference. You know, I even let, when it comes to the seventh year, I let my garden sit fallow because, you know, the soil needs to rest. It needs to rejuvenate. The nutrients need to be replaced. And so the soil makes all the difference. Today we're going to be looking at the parable. Some call it the parable of the sower. Some call it the parable of the soils. So let me read part from Matthew. It's also, I'm in Matthew chapter 13. I'm just going to take the first soil this week. And we're going to take, for the next following 3 weeks, we will do the other soils. Because I think there is something in each one of these soils for us to learn about ourselves. It's also in Luke 8, it's also in Mark 4, but I'm using the Matthew account. It says in verse 1, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. And the disciples don't understand what this parable means. And so they ask him, you know, to explain this. And so down in verse 18, he explains to them, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word. So now I'm into the next one. So this is what is sown along the path. That evil one comes and steals it. So what he explains is that God is the one sowing the seed, the word of the kingdom. And it's interesting that we will note that in each of the soils, they heard the word. The word went forth and it was heard. But in this particular case, it says that they did not understand it. And so we understand that the soil that we're talking about is the heart condition of any one person, the condition of the one hearing. So we all hear the word of the kingdom. Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11 use an illustration to an image to illustrate this truth about the power of the word. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. So God's word goes forth, and it does accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. And people hear the word, but it says in this particular place that they did not understand. I think really they did not want to understand. Their heart was like a hard beaten path, and the word was not able to penetrate their heart. I like the way Daryl Johnson flips this around. We talk about understanding the parable, understanding the word. And we sometimes can make that an intellectual thing, where what Daryl Johnson says is to stand under the word. So when you hear the word, are you submitting to it? Are you standing under the word? Are you submitting to the truth of what you are hearing? Because their heart was hard, the birds, which represent Satan in this particular portion of this parable, come and snatch away the seed, the truth. But Satan can only come and snatch it away when people don't want to hear the truth, when they reject the truth because they have a hard heart. I've had this conversation with people where I remember sitting in a restaurant with a gentleman and we talked for hours about the apologetics, and it finally came down to the free will of man. And he says, well, I don't accept that argument. And I had this epiphany right then that winning an argument with this guy is not going to do anything. This guy needs to be loved into the kingdom. And so Tammy and I and our family began to reach out to this gentleman. And and it was a powerful thing. You know, he said to me that night, I have answers to questions you haven't even thought about asking. That's how hard his heart was. He wasn't just an atheist. I think he was more like an agnostic, or maybe even a theist, because he was angry at God. He was angry at authority. He wondered why God wasn't fixing things in the world. He would wonder why these fires would be raging, why we would have COVID and all these kinds of things. If God has the ultimate authority, if he's good and he has power, why doesn't he fix it? And we hear that commonly. One of the greatest comforts I guess I have in this world is just knowing that this world is broken. That's my answer to why these things happen. The world is broken. It's not the way God created it, and it's not the way it's going to end up. And so the narrative of Scripture is God restoring and renewing. I want to go back to verses 12 and 13. He says, this is his answer to what the purpose of the parables is. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And I think that describes the hard heart. They can hear, but they don't hear. They don't understand. And so the truth that they do have gets snatched away from them, where the person who's willing to stand under truth receives more truth. We usually think of this portion of this parable, of the one with the hard heart, is maybe that militant atheist, or my friend that I sat in the restaurant with, or some pagan who just outright rejects Christianity and rejects the truth of the word. And that's true. There is a hardness of heart there. However, I want us to think about this a little bit differently this morning as we are on this journey. This is the question I ask myself, and maybe you can ask yourself. In what ways is my heart hard? Where do I harden my heart? Where are those times where I read the scripture, or I hear the word of the kingdom, as he calls it in this parable, but I don't stand under it? Where is my hard heart when it comes to money? Or am I standing under the truth of what the word says about my attitude toward money and my attitude toward others? How about my actions toward the poor, the naked, the hungry, the imprisoned? And there's another parable with sheep and goats where Jesus talks about this. And he says, if you do it unto them, you're doing it to the least. You do it to the least of these, you're doing it unto me. Do I stand under that truth? Or is my heart hard toward the poor, the imprisoned, going, well, they did. Got what they deserved. You know, we have these homeless camps all over the lower mainland. What is our attitude toward that? Or to the addicted? How about the use of my talents? Am I standing under the truth of what the word of God says about how I use my talents, my gifting? Am I using it for the kingdom? Or I just have these skills and abilities to help me or those that are close to me? How about the use of my time? Are we being stewards of our time? And that's another parable that we may take a look at, the parable of the stewards. The word steward, we translate as steward, which is an English word. Literally, the Greek word is house rules. Because a steward didn't own the stuff. He just looked after it for his master. And he obeyed the house rules that the master laid down for him. So, you know, what is the use of my time, the stewardship of my time? Am I using it for the kingdom, or do I have a hard heart and it's all about me again? I think that's one of the things that I've seen and observed during this time of COVID, where people get locked down. Some people have used it to get into better shape. Some maybe not. What kind of habits have you developed during COVID, you know, good or bad, during this time? How are you using your time? So I mentioned earlier about someone, and I had this down before I got this letter this week, about somebody forgiving somebody and actually taking it a step further and reconciling, which is even a bigger deal. But to forgive somebody, is there somebody that I need to forgive that I'm hardening my heart about? Am I standing under the truth that says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? Am I standing under that truth? Am I forgiving the people around me that hurt me, that insult me, that wound me? Or am I able to free myself by letting go of some of that? How about in the area of sexuality and morality? Am I standing under the truth of what the word teaches? And it's not just, well, okay, yeah, I'm not having an affair. Well, that's not enough. Jesus teaches us even, where are my thoughts? Am I looking at women? Am I lusting? Am I flirting with pornography? Am I, you know, doing other things? Is my thought life, my sexuality, am I standing under the truth of what the word of God says? And I think one of the ones, and I just wrote this down this morning, and I think even as we sang, this came to me, is just, am I standing under the truth of who I am in Christ? My identity in Christ. Do I live with the fact that I am a child of God? So in my devotional reading this morning, the guy who is wrote this was talking about his, they have a great big Labradoodle and they have a little hamster. And the hamster was notorious for getting out of this cage. And one day it got out again, and it finally, the labradoodle and the hamster meet. So you can imagine this towering labradoodle, and here's this little hamster, and they just stare at each other. Finally, the labradoodle laid down and rolled onto its back in submission to the hamster. This devotional was about spiritual warfare. And that, as Christians sometimes, that's what we are doing. We are a labradoodle. We have all of this identity in Christ and this authority and power, not ours, but through Christ we have victory, and yet we roll over and cower before the forces of darkness. And yet we have the authority to pray over us. I prayed over each one of you this morning as Sarah was praying. I prayed that the forces of darkness would be kept at bay, that God's Holy Spirit could go forth, that we would understand who we are in Christ, that we would claim that authority today. And I prayed against it for each place where you are. We don't all have to be together to do that. And we have this victory. And I verbalize it because the forces of darkness need to hear it. You know, God knows our thoughts. Satan does not. But he watches us and he knows our weaknesses. And he strikes us there. And he doesn't really have a lot of strategies. It's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's all he's got. You look at each temptation, it's one of those three things. He did it in the garden, he did it with Jesus, and he does it with us. But we have this identity in Christ where we have authority. But we have to be willing to have a soft heart and stand under the truth of the Word of God. So let me close by asking this. What is one thing or one area where you need to soften your heart? Where you need to stand under the truth of God's word. Maybe it's one of those things I mentioned. Maybe it's something else that has come to your mind. And maybe there's more than one, but you know, deal with one. Just pick one and stand under the truth. Look at the truth of God's word. Claim that truth and live in that victory and that authority in Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, we have come and we have gathered in your name. We have been able to gather because of what Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Father, for sending him and for the gift again of your Spirit. But may we live in that authority. May we have a soft heart toward you. May we have a thick skin when the other things come our way. But may our heart always be soft toward you. And as you deal with things in our life, even as Tim shared, that he recognized that and was able to lead us this morning in challenging us just to sing the truth of the Word of God. So may we stand under your truth. May we stand in our identity in Christ. And may you empower us and use us, especially in this time of COVID, that we would have peace, that we would have joy, that we would have love, that as we interact with maybe other parents at school or teachers, whatever it is, co-workers, that they would see our joy and victory in Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.